Hi, my name is Sam Knight, and I'm coming to you from Peterborough. It's a pleasure to be able to share with you today. I was with you just a couple of months ago, and now in Peterborough, hoping eventually to return to Central Africa, where I live normally with my family. And recently, over the last few weeks, we have taken the opportunity as a family to occasionally, at a mealtime, to, instead of the craziness and the noise that normally goes on at mealtime, to pause and to listen to an audiobook. And we've actually been listening to The Railway Children by Edith Nesbit in the last few weeks, and we've just finished the chapter where the children give some gifts to Mr. Perks. Mr. Perks is a poor railway station worker, and he initially responds to these gifts with anger. Why would you think that I am poor and need these gifts? Why do you he didn't want to receive gifts from people who thought of themselves as superior to him. He wanted to be considered an equal. He wanted to not be thought of as weak and lesser and needing of the help of other people. But when the children explain to Mr. Perks where the gifts come from and why the people who gave the gifts gave them, then he slowly comes round to the idea that it came from a pure heart. It came from a desire to be loving towards him. Later in the chapter, then we discover that they even use the word loving kindness. It was loving kindness towards Mr. Perks that these children, when they heard that it was his birthday, when they heard that he didn't celebrate it normally, that they would give those presents to him, and they would arrange for other people to give those presents to him. They were being loving towards this man. They were not wanting to be superior in any way. They were not wanting to be richer, helping poorer. In fact, they were not particularly wealthy children themselves. But there's some similarities in this story in Romans chapter 12. We have little, and we give it lovingly to others. We don't give it out of a sense of superiority, a sense of wanting to help people who are needy, who are below us. But we give it because that is what we have. And we want to love other people. In the first few verses of the chapter, then we see this idea of offering our bodies as living sacrifices to God. Now, I have to say that when I was a young boy, then I didn't really have any desire or motivation to offer my life as a living sacrifice. But in around the age of 12 or 13, I actually developed a desire to serve others in much deeper way than I'd ever done before. I think that that came from a slow understanding or knowing of God, knowing more about him, and then seeing other people serve God in their lives in practical ways, serving others, loving others. And through that experience, then I could actually see how I could do it. My heart changed in some ways. And so when in verse 2, Paul writes, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Of course, the pattern of this world can include generosity and giving to other people. My grandfather is an atheist, but he gives generously of his time and money to help his local community. So it's not just helping people, but I think there's something about motivation and the desires to serve and love other people that is a bit different. When I was 12 or 13 years old, I was slowly having my mind renewed, changed, so that I would have a desire to love others, to serve others in practical ways. And to be honest, that changing of my mind, that transformation of my desires, has not finished. I'm still in that process now. And when Paul talks about this not thinking of more highly of ourselves than we ought, I think my story about from the railway children becomes relevant here. We should not think of ourselves as people who are helping the needy because they are somehow inferior to us, but we should think of ourselves as helping one another, serving one another in generosity from what we have. The reason why we respond by giving is because we've received very generously from God. We have received our abilities and strengths, and we have received through other people to us so many other things as well. So when we are responding in love towards others, it is driven by this motivation that we have received much. Now, I live in Africa. I know many poor people who are extremely poor. So is it just, do they have enough to be thankful towards God? Absolutely, yes, they do. And I know many people who are not very healthy, and yet they still have enough to be able to say, thank you, God, for what you have given me. But each of those gifts that God gives us, we need to bring to the table. In France, I lived in France for 3 years with my wife, and we were part of a small church where we had frequent gatherings together, where we'd eat together. We'd bring food, each one of us would bring food and share it. And one single guy had the habit of always bringing a drink, and one of the single ladies always bringing a salad. And each of the other people in the church would bring their own signature dish. Maybe it would vary from time to time, but it would be signature to who they were. Now, that situation would work terribly if each person brought plain pasta. I love pasta, but to be honest, if each one of us had brought a pan full of plain pasta, it would have been a disaster. But because each one of us brought of our own identity, from our own diversity, then we had some amazing meals. At the same time, if one person didn't have the energy or the time to prepare a meal, we would actually have enough. If we had a few guests, then we generally had enough to feed them as well from all of the food that we had. But when a few people, more than one or two people, stopped bringing food, then we would not have enough and we would go hungry. And I think the situation is similar in the church. We actually suffer when a number of people don't bring what they have, what God has given them, bring it to the table and celebrate together what we each have been given, the gift of serving one another, of caring for those people who are downtrodden or disheartened. Maybe some of us have been given the gift of being able to teach others or encourage others to lead. And yet, if we don't do that, we find that as a community, we miss out. So when we see in these verses, if your gift is prophesy, prophesy. If it is serving, then serve. Then let's do that, absolutely. But when we read these verses, we actually see that Paul doesn't spend a lot of time going into the details of how to serve. He actually spends a lot more time looking at our attitude with how we serve. He says, love must be sincere. hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. It's this idea that we're not one person who's gifted helping somebody or other people who are not, but we're wanting to honour each other person and serve them in a loving way. And let us be faithful in our prayer and persevere in our suffering together as a community. When we have this attitude of service, where we are not proud, but we're willing to associate with people of low status or low position, then we have this loving kindness that I referred to at the beginning from the railway children, where somebody might feel dishonoured by a gift taken from a position of superiority, but when we're helping one another, then there are so many opportunities that we can be generous and servant-hearted. When we came to Peterborough a few weeks ago, we saw a church that had, with the lockdown, basically was closing down everything that it was doing, but it had seen that there was a huge rise in the number of people who were vulnerable, who were going through financial hardship, who were struggling. And one thing that they'd been doing for a while was something a bit along the lines of a food bank. They'd had food given to them and then they would give it out to people who were in need. But they also received donations from supermarkets, and those supermarkets would give them fresh food and then they would quickly give it out to people who needed it or accepted it. Now this church experienced a huge increase in numbers of people wanting food, queues of 20, 30 people wanting to have food from this church. People who, for whatever reason, this crisis had made their situation even more difficult. Their hardship had become worse. Homeless people, people from the Roma community, many people who maybe were living in a very difficult circumstance now were needing this extra support from food. And the church had this opportunity, some volunteers had the opportunity to give of their own time, give their own ability, their own skills to bless the people around the church. And I have been so overjoyed to be part of a little part of that, to be able to give out to people who are hungry, to people who need the food, and for that to be helping people from Eastern Europe, from Asia, from Africa, from Britain, the homeless people, people who would normally never come to ask for help, coming because they can get hope from this church. And maybe this is following in the great tradition of the church of the past. Churches have always given to the hungry, given food to the hungry, supported the vulnerable, helped widows, helped the poor. And we as a community of Christians have the opportunity to serve vulnerable people at this time. And perhaps our ways of serving that we do normally are limited, but we have so many opportunities in front of us to support our neighbours and our community. Let us do that. And I'd encourage you, as I found Romans chapter 12 to be an encouragement to myself, to learn how I should serve and love others, then perhaps you can also benefit from this chapter.